praise you. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. I just feel joyful tonight.
Amen.
I feel a little bit lighter tonight. I don't know what it is, but I just thinking about His mercy and His goodness and His grace and His love and His faithfulness and His kindness. And I was just looking around the room a little bit and seeing some of you that I've known a long time and just seeing God's faithfulness in my life, your life. And I can't help but be joyful.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't help but be joyful, man.
So excited.
Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Amen.
Father, thank you for lifting every, if there's a burden here tonight, Lord, on anybody, Father, we thank you for lifting that burden. Any heaviness, Father, we thank you for your love, your Holy Spirit, your power, lifting that tonight. Amen. Lord, we thank you for revealing that. And then lifting that. Sometimes you can have a heaviness and not even know what it's about.
Yeah.
So tonight, Lord, we ask, we thank you for revealing and lifting. Lord, we thank you for doing that tonight. You're so faithful. You're so faithful, Father. How we love you and we worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And thanking God for the worship team tonight. Thank you for... Thank you for tarrying there a little bit, worship team.
Yes.
That's awesome. Amen. And so remember, this is going to be Stephen's last Sunday. But Stephen, I'm going to tell you something. I was, because I'll follow, you know, Radiant College or Radiant Church Instagram or whatever. So, and then I had talked to Devin because I seen there was this worship, they have having this worship session and a message, and I think the room was like this size, and it was just packed with young people worshiping and praising God. And you know what I said? I said, Stephen's going to be a part of that. Stephen's going to be a big part of that. And remember to not only maybe help support a little, you know, help support Stephen. I'm bold enough to say that. He's been faithful here, right? Nothing like helping somebody along financially, especially those who have proven themselves faithful. But I want to say with Stephen, of course, we're going to pray with him this Sunday, but be praying for him that the enemy cannot divert what God wants to do in your life. And then I only say that just knowing when, like I told you in public, when Devin, that first semester, the enemy tried to knock him off his course. Isn't he always the enemy trying to knock us off course? Isn't he? I've been knocked off course a little bit before. And I'm so grateful that he's so faithful and so kind and so good and long-suffering there to get me back on course. Normally, it has nothing to do with him. It's normally my attitude. Isn't it normally attitude? Right? Talking about things that will come against us in session 62 of John chapter 7. So normally we'll take a few verses. I always notice God kind of directs and hits something specific. You ever notice that? He's faithful. In the reading of the word, a book or chapter, line upon line, I always notice the Holy Spirit is faithful to direct something specific that he always wants to encourage or reveal or show us. Man, isn't that awesome? If we're looking for that, and I believe nobody, hey, Wednesday night anymore, I mean, that's a small group in a church anymore. So my prayer tonight is you being here, that the Lord will teach you something, show you something, reveal something to you. What I love about the Word of God, I'll mention a little bit later, is something can come forth with God's anointing and authority and hit every heart differently. Isn't that true? Isn't that awesome? So that is my expectation tonight for you and for me. So are you ready for that? So regardless of how tired you are, you know, you have to give yourself a little awake touch. But your spirit man has said, okay, I'm standing at attention. So thank you for that, Lord. And so I just want to go back to John chapter 7, verse 10. But when his brothers, this is Jesus, had gone up to the feast, And they then he himself also went up, but not publicly, but as though in secret. So Jesus went up by himself in secret. So the Jews were looking for him at the feast. So this is in Jerusalem, right? In Jerusalem. And saying, where is he? Where is this? They're looking for this Jesus. Where is he? We've heard about him. Some may say, hey, I talked to my friend who saw him perform miracles. They heard him teach and heard the power of God that came forth from him. But he's been spending all his time up north or out west. He's been hanging out in, remember we always say, he's been hanging out in Ash Fork. But that's a true statement. Nazareth was a very small village during that time in the areas. Or how about being in the wilderness to feed the 5,000? I mean, he was in the wilderness. And so where he was, here where he's teaching, where he was hanging out, where he was with his disciples or those that were with him, his entourage that was with him. So now he's in Jerusalem. He's at one of the feasts. I think this is the Feast of Booths. And he's here. And so they're saying, where is he going to be here? Where is he? Verse 12, and they said, and there was a great deal of talk about him in secret among the crowds. So I just want to lay that in secrets. They weren't really, there wasn't anybody saying out loud, hey, where's Jesus? There wasn't any shouts across the temple or the temple grounds saying, hey, Fred, remember we were talking about Jesus and how we'd like to see him. Have you seen him? No, this was in hush. It was in secret. We'll talk about that in a minute. So here, this is what the Word of God says. There was a great deal of talk about him, Jesus, in secret among the crowds. Some were saying, so they were kind of saying it maybe just in their small groups, maybe their family. And they weren't saying it in a loud voice, kind of in a hushed voice. They said, you know, he's a good man. So this group over here is saying, hey, man, he's a good man. You know, we're looking forward to seeing him. He's a good man. Others were saying, no. Fred, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that, Fred. No, on the contrary, he's misleading the people. So you have all these hushed voices. Hey, he's a good man. No, he's misleading the people. However, no one, listen to this. This is amazing when you start picking this apart, when you hear this. However, no one was speaking openly about him for fear of the Jews. For the fear of the Jews. How many people were speaking openly? It said no one. No one was speaking out loud with an expectation. Hey, the one that I saw up north near Nazareth, the miracles. Hey, the one that I heard about, who opened blind eyes, who raised the dead. Man, there wasn't an expectation. I'm going to tell you, it was because of fear that no one had an expectation or was staying with a voice saying, hey, I can't wait to put eyes on him myself because of fear. He's a good man. He's not a good man. But let me just say this talk about this a little bit. But fear kept everyone and anyone from saying he is the Messiah. Not one person in this situation because of fear. What did it say again? However, no one was speaking openly about him for fear of the Jews. Wow, fear keeps, you know, this is what I've noticed. Fear kept everyone and anyone from saying he's a Messiah. You know, fear can keep a mouth shut. Did you know that? It can keep a mouth shut, fear. Fear, this is a situation where so much fear because of religion and the leadership there, so fearful of an expectation. We said, we can't have this expectation, can we? So fear dominated the entire city of Jerusalem because of Jesus, but nobody said anything. You know, we know Jesus came to die, and what held the hand of the Jews to ensure that happened was fear. It was fear. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Fear of, we don't quite understand him. He can't be explained. The leadership isn't embracing him. So we know Jesus came to die, and what held the hand of the Jews to ensure that happened was fear. You may just go through some scriptures real quick. You hanging in there? Proverbs 29:25 says this: the fear of man brings a snare. So this situation really was a fear of man, fear of what others would think, fear of those around them, so that no one was talking openly. The fear of man brings a snare. Think of that word, a snare. But one who trusts in the Lord will be protected. You know, the snare, I was looking at that, you know, I'm going to go to Hebrew. What's it mean in Hebrew, this snare? But it means like a noose. And this is interesting. It's like a noose around the neck. Fear, like a snare put around the neck to lead a person around. Another one part of that is, it says a hook for the nose. Now, if you had a hook in your nose, I'm sure somebody could lead you around. So they're talking about what this snare, fear being a snare, the fear of man, a fear of what man thinks, is a hook, it's a snare or something that leads you around. You'll go the direction of that fear. It also means trap. So you know you've heard of bear traps or different traps. So once you're in it, you're snared, you're caught in it. You know, one thing that I have to admit that in my life that I've always struggled with and can still struggle with, maybe you're beyond me on that, is fear. It doesn't matter what, it could be fear of a promotion. It could be fear of stepping out into something new. So fear can stop you. It stops people. I mean, I think fear is the thing that has stopped people the most from fulfilling anything in their life, whether it be calling, purpose, fulfillment, all these things that God has given us, amen, as part of salvation. It is fear that will stop people, and by a snare around their neck or a hook in their nose, will drag them away from that and say, I don't think so. People can make many excuses of why they won't step out into something. They can make many excuses, can we not? So, and I like what fear and what it leads to. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil a foothold. I believe the biggest foothold for Satan is fear. Absolutely fear. What you say, well, what makes you think that? Well, the Bible is full of examples, and the Bible is full of scriptures combating, encouraging, helping us recognize fear. Let me just, these aren't going to be on here. I just want to read this, so just have open ears, or you can write down notes if you want to look at these later, but I just want to talk about fear a little bit. And these are many scriptures that you know, so it's just a reminder, an encouragement for you. You know that fear can lead to a heaviness resting on your life and live a life totally dominated, struggling with fear. My prayer for you and for me is that if there's any fear or fear that would try to keep us bound up or keep us in its grip, that it'll be broken tonight in Jesus' name. It's my desire that we just don't have a little cute Bible study. It wasn't that cute, wasn't that neat, but if there's an area in our lives where God needs to break fear, that'll be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want it to get to, you know, it's easy to get together and just look at a session 62 and leave here, and what did we get from it? I believe it's God's desire every time we meet together, every time we pursue Him, every time we're praying and worshiping Him, looking at His Word, that God is doing something internally in you and in me. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear. So it's funny how the Lord will just say, He'll just say things. Here's the answer. Do not fear, for I am with you. He's with who? You. Me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen. These are promises. We know that 2 Corinthians 1 says the promises of God are yes and amen. So then when we see promises, you know, what I've learned to do is say, yes and amen. I'll receive that. Lord, help me to walk in that. Help me to understand that. Help me to obtain that. Help me to pursue that. Help me to understand that. Help that to be part of my character and walk with you, these truths. So when it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. But to say, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will hold us. He will hold us. See, those are those promises where you say, God, thank you for holding my hand. It says that you're going to strengthen me. Lord, strengthen me. Show me how you're going to strengthen me. Show me what you would like me to do. The Lord will speak to you and say, hey, turn to this. You ever had this where I'll be thinking? I'll be thinking about the things of God. All of a sudden, a chapter or a verse will come in my mind. And I'll go there. And it's something to say, wow, God, thank you. How do you do that? We just tune our ears in and realize he wants to do that. See, our carnal mind says, nah, he doesn't want to do that. Well, yes, he does. His Holy Spirit lives in me, and he wants to speak to me. He wants to show me things. So I'm learning to tune my ear in and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to show me here? How are you going to strengthen me, Lord? Because we can read things, but let's get a little deeper. We can read it, but what's that mean? How are you going to strengthen me, Lord? What is it that you would like me to do to pursue, to obtain, to have that strength? And the Lord will show you. You'll get an inner desire to just worship him. So like last week, it was a tough week. You ever had a tough week? So I can admit that. You know, I'm still here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there was a certain song that just went over my mind over and over again. So I was singing it. And then I was finding it on YouTube and playing it. And it was ministering me and blessing me. Ministering and blessing me. And that was the Spirit of God as I was, as whatever those situations that were rolling through my life and my soul. And all of a sudden this worship song comes up from my spirit man, and it begins to encourage me and strengthen me. And then I started realizing the promises of God for him to strengthen me and help me. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Let's continue with a few more. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. It says, I will fear no evil. Those things that the enemy will try to tell you, saying, you just wait, the other shoe's going to drop. You know, you ever had that? You know, the enemy always tried to convince you, it's good today, but don't think that'll last. If I will fear no evil, anything that comes my way, anything that tries to press against me, anything that'll come against my family, amen, I have the promises of God to strengthen me, deliver me, fulfill me. He's always pursuing me, amen. Isn't that awesome? Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Question mark. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is he the stronghold of your life? See, what the enemy wants is that fear to be the stronghold of your life. You can be born again, blood washed, spirit filled, tongue talking, testifying, and have a stronghold of fear. Man, I pray that every little area of a stronghold in our life with fear, that God will break that. He will break that. Break that over our lives. Are you hearing me tonight? He is stronger than every spirit of fear. Psalms 46:1-3, God is our refuge and strength. Who is my refuge and strength? God. An ever-present help in trouble. I like those promises. I think I'll take a hold of those. Those belong to me. Therefore we will not fear. So he's talking to usins, right? You guys know the word usins? It's plural for us, usins. That's a double plural. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way, now listen to these things. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, I don't care how big of an earthquake it is. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their singing, I will trust him. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is with me. It didn't say he might be with me. He'll arrive at dinner time tonight. He'll arrive tomorrow morning. He's on a trip. No, it says that the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What can mere mortals do to me? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's Jesus in John 14:27. Those are good scriptures. That's good news. That's encouraging. That should be powerful within our spirit, man. As a reminder, I know you know these scriptures, but it's good to remind one another. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, whoever them is. It can be a voice of the enemy. It can be people pursuing you, people coming against you. Whatever it is, it says, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I love that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6, thank you for that, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us and never forsake us. I've been in times in my life where I've tried to leave him, and he was still not forsaking me. He was still pursuing me. Amen. I want to say that again. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I love where it says, when you're faithless, he remains faithful. His faithfulness is what makes me just continue to be confident in his love, confident in his goodness in my life, confident in all that pertains to me is because of his goodness. Can't say it's my goodness. If it's my goodness, it can be troublesome. Sometimes, and a lot of times, I hope I'm walking in his goodness. You ever not walk quite in his goodness with an attitude or a thought process? But man, his goodness, his faithfulness, which is always true, always holy, is always faithful to me. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue. Can you handle a few more? The Word of God, you know, let's just dump it in. Isaiah 41:13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. We already said that one, didn't we? And says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hebrews 13:6, so we say with confidence. Can you say confidence? Okay. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Amen. Deuteronomy 3:22. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Luke 12:32. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. Amen. Are you part of his little flock? I love that. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Wow. Do not be afraid. Lamentations 3:57. You came near when I called you and you said, do not fear. Psalm 56:3-4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Who's saying this? The prophet Haggai. I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This is what Haggai 2:5. Haggai 2:5. This is what I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt. This is God. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. You know, I look at that one that I'm sealed with his Holy Spirit. Right? Because I'm walking in a new covenant. I'm walking in a covenant with him through the blood of Jesus Christ, a new covenant. Put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it says because he's covenant with me that his spirit remains with me. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. Isn't that an awesome verse? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worthy more than many sparrows. He was talking about, he says, when a sparrow doesn't hit the ground, that he doesn't know. All the noise, everything going on in this world. And when a sparrow off of Road 4 South or 3 South dies and hits the ground, he's aware of it. So that scripture saying, if I'm aware of that, don't be afraid. You mean much more to me than many sparrows. You know, stepping in, you know, this is one thing I want to talk about as far as, okay, coming out of fear, a few things. 2 Timothy 1:6, this is Paul talking to Timothy. So Timothy, he was a young pastor, a young evangelist, and as I've read 1 and 2 Timothy, he was writing to Timothy to encourage him because he had some fear. He had people coming against him. And so 2 Timothy 1:6, this is what Paul says, for this reason I remind you, who's he talking to? Timothy. He says, I'm reminding you, Timothy, to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So at some point Paul had laid his hands on him and activated a spiritual gift in him. He says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So I'm going to just stop real quick. You know how, if you read this, you know how he kindled that? Was walking in it. Stepping out into it, regardless of how he felt. He felt some fear, but Paul says, hey, kindle that gift. Get out there and exercise those things that I placed within your life. Whatever God's put on your heart, get out there and exercise it. Don't let fear hold you back. You think about some of the things that maybe God puts in your heart, and what's there that you will face if it's unknown? Fear. Matter of fact, dreams and things that God will put in our heart, if there's no fear involved in the natural, it's probably not God. If it's something that you can do in your natural flesh yourself. But if it's something that God places within you, a purpose that has some fear that you're going to have to walk through, you're going to have to read those scriptures and say, I'm going to fear not. Lord, I'm going to kindle these things. If you've placed me in this situation, if you've placed me here, that means that you've gifted me, and you're going to start to stir those things and sharpen those giftings. There's only one way to sharpen different things in your life, and that's to begin to use them. So if you're waiting for the fear just to sit in the back seat, know this, it wants to drive the car. But you're going to say, fear not, I'm going to, the flesh, the mind, there might be this sense of fear, but thank you, by the Holy Spirit, God, I'm walking through this. Your word of God says, fear not, for I am with you. And then it says, for God has not given us, right after this, when he's talking about kindle fresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, Paul says, then he says, for this, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but it means a spirit of fear. But what has he given us? It's not fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, or NASB says discipline. 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 He's given us the capability to discipline our lives through him, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Acts 4:31, I just want a few more things here. And it says, and when they had prayed, so the disciples were preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick, and they were recovering. And then they had the religious leaders take them into a room and say, guess what? You don't stop it, things are going to get bad for you. And we're going to stop this one way or the other. So was there a sense of fear? Yeah, because they had to go, they went back and prayed. They said, prayed, Lord, give us boldness. And when they had prayed, it says, and when they had prayed in Acts 4:31, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So timidity, fear leads to timidity. God's encouragement and strength leads to boldness. So this walking through, sometimes it seems like you've got to walk through a wall of fear. I've waited. I've learned the hard way. I'm not particularly smart maybe sometimes, but we get there. There have been times in my life where I waited, Lord, if this is you, then I wouldn't have any fear. But as I grew and came to understand, read the scriptures, had other people help me, it's like, no, I may have fear there, but it's just the enemy saying, don't do it. It'll never be successful. It's going to work out. And then by his Holy Spirit, but by the Holy Spirit that in my inner knower, is that there's an excitement underneath that at the very core of my being that says, walk into it. So you walk right through that fire. Right through that fire, that flame and that fear. Sometimes we can have a fear of giving everything. I used to have a fear of giving everything to God. And as I've learned to cast that fear off, it's always just been his goodness. His wanting the best for my life. Amen. Wanting to bless me, wanting to reveal himself to me. But there was a fear there of always giving it to him. I don't know what it was if I thought my life would end up not having any joy or peace. No, what the fear was telling me was actually the opposite of the truth. So let me say this. Fear's voice is always opposite of the truth. It's always the opposite of confidence and trust in him. So who gives that to us? It's the Holy Spirit, amen? And through the Word of God and walking through that. Fear leads people to not open their mouth at all. Fear leads people sometimes to talk too much, right? The opportunities forfeited, the opportunities forfeited because of fear. Wow. You know, here's the thing. If there's things in your life you feel like, you know, I forfeited because of fear, and you go, darn, shucks, it's too late. No, it's not too late. Amen. I think of people like Smith Wigglesworth that was full of fear. You ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? He was a plumber. It's like 55 before he ever did anything for God. Fear. He stuttered terribly. Had a fear of people. And when you know what got him past that? Trusting God and the Holy Spirit. You know, only one man took the head of Goliath. Nobody else did because of fear. Everybody else in that camp, all the armies of the children of Israel and King Saul, totally fearful when Goliath would come out and say, "There's no chance. You have no chance against me." What was that? It was the voice of fear. Bring out your toughest guy. Bring a dozen of them. He said, bring them out because I'll take every one of them. That was the voice of fear. But when David arrived on the scene, he did not listen to the voice of fear. He realized that voice was actually mocking God. If you think of it, the voice of fear is mocking God. Well, he says he's going to be with you. I don't know. Oh, he says he's going to be with you. I've got to work this out in my mind. It's actually mocking God. Only one man took the head of Goliath. Everybody else ran in fear. Lord, I would ask tonight as we end this, Lord, thank you, Lord, showing us areas in our lives where it's the voice of fear. And sometimes for years, I don't know about you, but they can be this voice as we grow in him. The Lord will reveal some things, and there'll be a voice maybe that's from our subconscious or in our mind or plays these tapes that we've listened to for so long and part of our subconscious that we don't even realize is there speaking to us. And then as you start to, you know, to speak to God about these things of fear, all of a sudden a clarity will come and you'll hear that voice and you'll say, aha! I know that for what it is now, and I command you to shut your mouth and go. I will not listen to you. I won't hear that. In that area of my life, I'm going to listen to my Father. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. Thank you for breaking fear off in these areas. So, Lord, how we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your strength. Thank you again, Lord. I just want to say for showing those areas. Lord, I remember how you showed me in areas like I wanted to be a giver, but I was fearful because it didn't make sense. But breaking through that and being a giver finances or whatever, saying, Lord, you're my provider. Lord, you're my strength. Lord, you're going to always take care of me. And I tell that voice of that enemy, that fearful voice, to shut up in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that. We love you. Thank you for this group of believers. Lord, how we love you and how we love one another. Thank you for one another. We praise you and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.